Good afternoon. Scott Peck with you here Thursday, April the 26th, 2018. 12 minutes coming up on 13 minutes past the hour. And we thank Shecky Green for always coming on this program. What a brilliantly talented, gifted man that truly is. Just a fascinating guy. Shecky Green, thank you so much for coming on the program. Now, this hour, we are going to continue to play trivia because we have a lot of answers that did not get answered yesterday. And I also want to tell you about a phone conversation I had off the air yesterday that I'm hoping maybe we can have on the air again today. But let me, before I get to that, let me run down the trivia questions and see if anybody has done any homework overnight or if anybody new is listening today that might be able to answer these trivia questions. Now, here's number one. What was the original grocery store that is located by Walmart? It was before Kroger is there now. It was before Kroger. It was before Big Bear. What was the original grocery store? There have only been three there that was located there before Big Bear and before Kroger. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Joe Nuxall, famous Cincinnati Reds baseball broadcaster, did commercials for a very big company. He did them for about 10 years in the 80s and 90s. What company did Cincinnati Reds broadcaster Joe Nuxall do commercials for? And I think we have a question here, or a caller. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott. I don't think I'm eligible to win, but can I take a stab at that grocery store question?
Oh, go ahead.
Which, you know, grocery stores are near and dear to the station. How about the A&T? Is that right? And left field.
No, that it's not the AMP, but that's a good guess. It was, you know, honestly, I had never seen this grocery store anywhere else. And when Walmart opened here in Marion, they built that little shopping plaza in 1990, and I've never seen that grocery store anywhere else. I assume it was part of a chain, but it was only here for about maybe three years tops, I'll say, and then Big Bear.
So it's not a well-known chain, so I was going to say IGA, but that wouldn't be right. So it's a name that wouldn't even be recognizable.
No, it wasn't to me, and I'm not even sure if they're still in business. I haven't even checked on it. But they were there in the early 90s, but I don't think they were locally owned either, so they had to come from somewhere.
It wouldn't be like Winn-Dixie. They're just in the South.
No?
I don't know if it's A&T or IGA are the most obvious guesses, because they were big before we got the chains, and Big Bear, obviously, they went out of business, so.
Yeah,
don't know. It's a good question, Scott. I really should know that kind of stuff. That wasn't long ago, but be assured I gave it the old college try.
Well, that's the interesting thing, is it hasn't been long ago, so most people listening, I assume, probably maybe shopped there or drove by there at least when it was there.
I'm sure Charlie knows. I mean, he's a walking encyclopedia, but...
You know, I don't know. I haven't asked Charlie. He might. I'm sure. I don't know. It's weird.
Scott, is there an element of Mid-Ohio history that Charlie does not know? I mean, come on. He is a walking almanac.
Well, if there is, I haven't found it yet. But he never met. Well, this is the story I'm going to get to once I get these questions. He doesn't know much about. I don't think he ever met Carrie Phillips, which is odd because Charlie would have been in radio before she died, and I'm surprised he didn't track her down.
I don't know, but you're the interviewer to the stars, and Shecky was amusing, and insightful as always. Definitely a pleasure to have him as a friend of the station.
Oh, God bless Shiki.
Quite spry for somebody when he's like 85 years old, right? He's very spry.
No, he's 92.
92, my goodness. He's very well-spoken and funny, and he's so intelligent.
Always a good guest.
Not just his humor, it's just he knows so much and has such good perspectives that I think people of all ages can learn from him. And I certainly have. Whenever I listen to him, I always find it to be an enhancement to my day-to-day routine.
You know what's interesting about Shiki? We don't prepare anything when we do those little skits, and he is able to be funny and never use a blue word, never use a profane word.
Yeah, it is interesting. He doesn't... I think Bill Macy is kind of like that, too. They're a little similar. They're about the same age.
Yeah,
they
just
both
about.
Seem like they're a generation younger, and they're funny but insightful also. And you always come away a better person after hearing them. So it's
yeah.
good to be part of a station that associates with these fine comic genius people.
Absolutely. And we do want to remind people, this is Adam Lepp, and he hosts the Adam the Computer Guy show every Tuesday and Thursday, 9:10 to 10 a.m. And on Tuesday, he also hosts Mid-Morning Coffee Break, usually with Dr. Ron Feynman, a very nicely politically crafted show from 10:10 a.m. till 11 a.m. You know, Adam, I've been meaning to ask you this because I listen to the programs. The Mark Zuckerberg thing. Now, what has he done that could be considered illegal?
Well, that's a gray area, and me and Nick CJ talked about it. I don't see him at this point as having conclusively done something that is illegal. Is it unethical? Well, even that's a question because no one is being forced to use Facebook. It is free, and it's going to stay free. Yes, it's supported by ads, as he said. I think that's why there's been a lot of giggling about the additional stuff like the booster chair. Again, it kind of comes across that you think of Mark Zuckerberg, someone very powerful, as being... you know, 6 feet or taller. You just don't think of someone that powerful as being 5'7". So the booster chair wasn't a big deal. A lot of people bring a seat cushion to look taller. You might have seen the Mary Tyler Moore episode yesterday. Interestingly, Mary Tyler Moore was a bit on the tall side. She was dating a guy who was about 5'3", and he brought a booster chair to the restaurant. And it was just hilarious because it's like 45 years later, things really haven't changed. Even though Mark Zuckerberg isn't as short as the guy in Mary Tyler Moore, but a similar kind of an idea. I guess he wanted to show a bit of an authoritarian presence, and he was explaining to senators who were two, almost three times his age,
well,
exactly how Facebook functions, how social media works. Does Facebook spy on you? Have they misled? Have they influenced things with the Cambridge Analytica? Probably, but I'm not really convinced Zuckerberg has done it on purpose, but I think he needs to be more accountable what the company does, as it does kind of go back to him, as he is the guy in charge. So bottom line is I don't see any criminal offenses, but I haven't made a full conclusion yet because there are still more things to see. Bottom line is if you don't like Facebook, don't use it.
Well, you know, one of the things that I find, and that's right, that's why I find a hard time even finding anything wrong with what he did, because this is something that is your choice to do. If you want to use it, you can. You don't have to use it. It doesn't cost you anything to use. And I think a lot of these things do stem out of jealousy. When people get jealous, they start hurling accusations at people.
I would think a lot of people are jealous of a skinny 33-year-old who is a multi-zillionaire. But granted, he's very smart. He does have a good upbringing. But he is self-made, no question. And I admire the guy. I wouldn't say jealous. Me and Nick talked about that. Nick was kind of saying in England, people don't really have... The Americans get very jealous, as you know, and there are differences in culture. I think with the royal family edition, we're looking at some of the many differences, but I get a lot of that perspective from Nick, and Americans tend to be jealous. Europeans don't have that jealous streak like we do, and I would tend to agree with that. So I certainly admire the guy. And I respect him, and I think he is a genius. But again, sometimes you're in the right place at the right time. You know, I think he'd be the first person to say that. But he is accountable for what the company does. And as a young CEO, he's talking about being multi-billionaire. I think he was 25 years old. He was worth over a billion. He needs to think like someone a generation or two older and understand that as Facebook goes, that can affect the world. And if data. Information, statistics, votes get in the wrong place, it's gonna come back to him. And that's kind of what I'm seeing right now.
You know, it's interesting because Charlie told me a story this morning. I don't think he told it on the air, but I'm not going to use the names, but I don't think he'd mind me telling the story. But back when the radio station WMRN first came to town, obviously the Marion Star was the only other version of news in town. And obviously that started to hurt the Marion Star because all of a sudden they had competition. And there was a very angry feeling between WMRN and the Marion Star. And the editor of the Marion Star at one point, I'm not going to say the guy's name, but one of the editors actually made the comment one time that he was going to tear down the radio station brick by brick. But here we are many years later, and the radio station is still there.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of jealousy to me and being spiteful.
I think that's what it is.
That's very uncool. I see it, Scott, multiple media outlets nurture each other and feed off each other. Yeah, we know another LPFM station that says things about us that are less than kind, and I'll kind of leave it at that. And that's not the way it should be. I respect all media outlets. And we feed off of each other, and that's how we grow.
Well, you know, it's
friendly competition is probably the best way to say it. And you know, you're just playing dirty just isn't cool. Karma's going to get you for doing that.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you know. People can say negative things about me or this station. It's not fun, but I really don't pay much attention to it. But what I do want to say is that I think competition is a good thing. I think it improves all media outlets. But
no question. I find jokes and everything. That's the thing about the grocery store. It's like, well, if anybody should know about grocery stores, Scott should. And, you know, it's kind of a private joke between you and me, but I think a lot of our listeners kind of know what I'm getting at. So,
well, sure.
And again, the history of grocery stores, name changes, you know, even getting on a tangent again, but, you know, I'm good at that, but I often accomplish things when I do. Big Bear, as you probably know, was bought out by the company that based in Syracuse, New York, which is very close to where I went to college and worked in radio back in the mid-80s, and because it was no longer a locally owned company. I think the CEO of Big Bear that was forced out started out as a bagger or cashier in a local store and became the CEO. When they were bought out by PNC based in Syracuse, they didn't care about the Columbus and Northern Ohio area, and look what happened to them. They tanked. Whereas Kroger is a local company based in Cincinnati with a major regional office in Columbus, two major stores in Marion, and look how they continue to grow.
And on it goes.
That's just a little aside, but some way, Scott, grocery stores almost a bit like media where you have to have a local presence. You don't necessarily have to be based locally, but care about your local community. Have people that are local with programming that is of interest anywhere in the world. I mean, like you, you know, we have Charlie with a major local interest, but what he talks about has implications anywhere in the world. You know, you and your celebrity interviews, me and my computer shows and my political shows that have interest almost anywhere, but I do try to focus on our area. That's how media flourishes.
Well,
if you don't
do
that, it's going to sink, and not unlike the retail business. Again, look at Big Bear. A lot of parallels there, I think.
Well, I think it's true, and I think, you know, it is what it is, and I always pay attention more to the listeners, and I think that's the same thing in any retail business. I care about the listeners who listens to this station. I'm not really all that concerned with what people are saying about me.
Let me say right now, Mr. and Mrs. Listener, you're listening right now. You are our family, and we thank you. Every minute that at your ears hear this station, we thank you, and don't ever forget that.
But don't expect a Christmas card or a fruitcake.
Yeah, I mean we get a Christmas card every day when people listen, and our supporters obviously.
Well,
we thank all of them. We wouldn't be here if we didn't have them.
That's right.
And if I don't thank listeners, I try to thank people for listening to my show at least twice. And if I forget, I apologize. But be assured, every word that I say is with the thanks of everyone that does support the station in some fashion. And we want to entertain you. We want to stimulate a few brain cells, learn a few things. And if you don't agree with us, you have additional questions or perspective, let us know. Every single email I get from a listener, I read.
Well, that's good to hear. Adam, thank you for calling in. I enjoy your guests.
No problem, Scott. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And Adam Lepp. Adam the Computer Guy show every Tuesday and Thursday from 9:10 until 10 a.m. and Tuesday, mid-morning coffee break from 10:10 until 11. And here comes another call. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Okay. You're talking about Big Bear and Kroger's and whatever.
Yeah, what was there before?
I'm going to give you a little bit of history first before I give you the answer.
Oh, go right ahead.
Big Bear was on North Main. And when they left North Main, they went out to Marion Plaza. Marion Plaza, next to them was Woolworths. On the other side was Wells department store that had a grocery store. When Kroger's moved out, in my recollection, and then they went across the road to the plaza, and that was the road at the old Marion Plaza, and it was Wells that was next door. And you had Woolworths on the other side. My sister worked at McMill. Charlie was I can't remember his last name, was a manager. But that's where they went when they left North Main Street. So Wells was the only one that I can remember that sold groceries near the Big Bear.
Oh, interesting. Now, do you know the answer? What was there before Big Bear and Kroger?
There was a box store where you went in. I can't remember the name of it right offhand, but anyway, that's where it was at, and they sold everything by bulk. And I can't remember right offhand, but somebody here might remember.
Well, hey, I think
it was went in and you bought it by bulk.
Well, hey, I appreciate the information. I always appreciate information. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. See, that's what we like. We want to learn together. 740-383-9944. Now, what was the original grocery store in the Walmart Plaza there? Kroger's there now. Before Kroger, it was Big Bear. But before Big Bear, what was it? There was one other grocery store there. When Walmart opened, what was the original grocery store? 740-383-9944. Joe Nuxall, legendary Cincinnati Reds broadcaster, did commercials for a company here in Ohio for about 20 years. What company did Joe Nuxall do television commercials for here in Ohio for about 10 years? Now, here's the question that leads me to my story after we get done here. But, I think we're actually getting a call here. Maybe. Well, maybe not. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If it's you, call back. We'd love to talk to you. Where did Carrie Phillips, best known as the mistress of Warren G. Harding, spend her last days, 57 to 1960? Oh, I know what this is. As we continue on, As we continue on with our tributes to late Ohio State football coach Earl Bruce, this gentleman we've had on the program several times in studio and by telephone. He's always been so kind to us. And to remember Coach Bruce, we are so glad to welcome to these microphones former head of the Ohio State Marching Band, now at Heidelberg University, John Waters. John, how are you?
I'm great, Scott. How are you?
It's always good to speak with you. How are things up in Tiffin?
Things in Tiffin are wonderful. The sun is shining. The trees are budding. It's springtime in beautiful Ohio.
It certainly is. You know, John, I replayed an interview that I did with Coach Bruce back in January of 2015 after Ohio State won the national championship. And in that interview, we talked about your situation at the time, and he said he felt that you got a bad deal. What was your relationship with Coach Bruce?
Well, Coach Bruce, like really all the Ohio State football coaches, have had a tremendous relationship with the band. with its tradition and with its directors. And while Coach Bruce was not the football coach when I was the director, he was certainly involved with the team, involved with the band, and I feel that I had a great relationship with Coach Bruce. He was just one of those people who was always accessible. He did some leadership presentations for our student leaders over the years. He would speak to the band from time to time, always willing to be there and to lend his great sense of Buckeye pride to what we were doing. And you know, there are some great stories that I recall with Earl Bruce, and probably the one that I think is really most important about Earl is the fact, and he always talked about this throughout his later years, the fact that when he was fired, on the Monday that he was fired by Ohio State, the band showed up in his front yard that evening as a sign of support and love for him, and serenaded him. And he will, he always talked about that moment and what it meant to him, and what it meant to his family to know that even though the university administration had let him go, that he was still loved by so many people and supported.
When you would meet him on a personal level, what kind of guy would you describe him as?
You know, very down to earth. He was very, to me, almost, kind of a down home type of guy with no pretense. There, he was just there, and when you had him in the moment, he was totally yours. He was totally focused on you, and he showed that so many times with our band students in presentations that he would make for us, leadership things and whatnot. And he was just someone who struck me as absolutely humble and not a guy who threw the Ohio State football coach in your face as a self-important thing, but somebody who was humble and really comfortable in his own skin. He was right down the middle, and he represented kind of the Woody Hayes tradition of plain speaking, and he didn't sugarcoat things. He said exactly what was on his mind, and just a really, really fun personality to be around.
Did you speak with him after you had left the university?
I believe that through a mutual friend, we had a brief conversation, if I remember right. I ran into him at an event that I was speaking at, and he just happened to be there, and we had a few minutes of just one-on-one time, and I do recall that he expressed his empathy for the situation that I was going through, and I think, as someone who had also been fired from the university, I think he wanted to show me that life was okay on the other side, and that life does go on.
Certainly does, certainly did for him. He came back and dotted the I. Not many people have been given that accolade.
That's right. Only a few in the history of the band that have been non-band members have dotted the I, and that is an honor that really is not bestowed by the university, but by the students in the band. The students, in fact, particularly the sousaphone section, are the group that extend those invitations to those special people. And certainly in the history of the band, there have been a handful of we'll call outside folks from the immediate band family who have represented the ideals and the traditions and the excellence and the enthusiasm, and Earl Bruce was certainly one of those people.
You know, it's kind of interesting, John, because Coach Bruce, his service was on television, covered by all the Columbus, Ohio television stations, and he was, in the end, dismissed from his job. Would you ever go back if Ohio State asked you to do something?
You know, I will always be a Buckeye at heart, and, you know, certainly if that phone call comes, I am happy to carry high the banner of Ohio State. I had great memories of the time that I was there. You know, unfortunately, personally, I have a bad taste in my mouth with how I was treated by the administration. But the university is bigger than the administration. The university family is bigger than any one or small group of people who, in my opinion, made a poor decision. The university is not a person. It's not really buildings or a location, but it's a family, and it's a rich tradition and history. And so, from that standpoint, certainly I would rise to the occasion if asked.
When you think of Ohio State, and when we think of Ohio State, how should we all remember Coach Bruce?
We should remember Coach Bruce as one of those people who wore his heart on his sleeve, who I think truly loved young people, truly loved the sport and the color and the pageantry of college football, and I think someone who was selfless and someone who gave back so much more than he got. And I think that's a prime example for so many students today, who maybe sometimes in our culture are a bit more self-centered. Earl Bruce was not one of those people. He always gave back more than he got. And, you know, I'll also share with you a fun story that my mentor, John Woods, shared with me about he and Earl Bruce. And this shows Earl's selflessness. This was 1985. And this was right before the Rose Bowl game. And John Woods had been the director of the band only for about a year and was standing in the tunnel in Pasadena in the Rose Bowl waiting to go out onto the field with the band. And John describes it as a pair of hands coming up behind him and grabbing him on the shoulders and giving him a big bear hug, and he kind of turns and recognizes it's Earl Bruce. And if there's anybody that should be nervous before that game, it was Coach Bruce, because the game obviously is the big thing in the stadium at the time, and yet Earl was totally relaxed and knew that it was John Wood's first Rose Bowl game, and he said, "John, don't worry about it. You're going to be great. The band's going to be great." And, you know, and then out went the band, and you know, Script Ohio ensued, and everything was, you know, history, as they say. But that really represents, I think, who Earl Bruce was. He was worried more, I think, about the people around him than himself, and just a really selfless and selfless person and a true servant to students and to the community.
I think you're exactly right. John Waters, former head of the Ohio State Marching Band, now at Heidelberg University. John, I can't wait till Heidelberg can come down to Marion sometime, the band.
Absolutely. We'd love to. We'd love to.
Hey, thank you. It's always a pleasure, John. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Scott.
Bye-bye. John Waters, remembering Coach Earl Bruce, who passed away last Friday at age 87. It's nice to have those remembrances. Now, we'll go back to trivia, 41 minutes past the hour. And we do have, I want to tell you this story that I got off the air yesterday, and maybe we'll get it on the air today, but the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. We'll go back to the trivia questions. The original grocery store that was located next to Walmart, before Kroger, before Big Bear, it was in the same building. What was that grocery store? 740-383-9944. Joe Nuxall, legendary Cincinnati Reds broadcaster, he did television commercials for a company for about 20 years. What was the company that Joe Nuxall did commercials for? 740-383-9944. And the Carrie Phillips question, which has been looming for over a week now. Carrie Phillips, certainly you probably recognize the name best as being Warren G. Harding's mistress, spent the last 3 years of her life, 1957 to 1960, in a retirement home, a home for the elderly here in Marion that is no longer here. Now, the name begins with a W. What was that home that Carrie Phillips spent her last days? 740-383-9944. Now, some of the other trivia questions that we had yesterday. Who was Sally Flowers' co-host on Meetin' Time at Moore's, which ran in the 50s on Channel 4 from Columbus, Ohio? She had a co-host on that show. Who was Sally Flowers' co-host on Meetin' Time at Moore's? 740-383-9944. And, of course, we all know Sally came to Marion in the 70s on CATV and did a great job there for about 6 months. But who was her co-host when she was first hitting it big in television on Channel 4, Meetin' Time at Moore's? Who was Sally Flowers' co-host? 740-383-9944. Here's a Marion question. Crystal Lake Amusement Park here in Marion. They had a roller coaster. I believe somebody was killed on that roller coaster. What was the name of the roller coaster? Go ahead, caller.
Willie Fall.
Not Willie Fall, but you're very close with that.
Shoot, I can see him.
Yeah, you're very close.
I know. I enjoyed that show so much, and he was such a jolly person.
And he's still alive, I believe.
Oh, is he?
I believe he is. I think he lives down in Florida now.
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, maybe someone will call in.
Yeah, keep thinking.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, he's still alive. Last I knew. Sally Flowers' co-host is still with us. He was a young guy when he was on Meetin' Time at Moore's with her. But he was on there for about 8 years. And kind of like Willie Thal. For those of you who don't know Willie Thal, he was part of the Midwestern Hayride. And it did have a country flair. And so did this guy who was with Sally Flowers. Who was Sally Flowers' co-host on Meetin' Time at Moore's? 740-383-9944. Now, Marion, I know a lot of our listeners used to go to Crystal Lake Amusement Park. Crystal Lake had a roller coaster. I actually believe, tragically, somebody was killed on that roller coaster at one point. But the roller coaster had a name. What was the name of the roller coaster at Crystal Lake Amusement Park? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What was the name of the roller coaster at Crystal Lake Amusement Park? Now, yesterday we got part of this question. What was Isley's famous dessert? And it was the Klondike Bar. But we did not get the year the Klondike Bar came out. What year did the Klondike Bar debut? 740-383-9944. And how were Klondikes advertised? They had what you would call a slogan that was very popular. What was the slogan for the Klondike Bar? They might even still use this slogan. I know they did for a long, long time, at least into the 80s and 90s. What was the slogan for the Klondike Bar, 740-383-9944. And we also had some other questions yesterday. Oh, yeah, these were the two at the end of the show yesterday. Yeah, we got where the three McDonald's were. We did that. I think that was the last question we got answered yesterday. But we did not get this. What did McDonald's used to sell in the 90s that they don't sell anymore? It was an Italian dish. You used to be able to get it at all McDonald's, even here in Marion, and then one day it was gone. But in the 90s, you could get them there. What did McDonald's used to sell? It was an Italian dish that they don't sell anymore. And theirs were very good. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And our... maybe we are getting an answer here. Let's see. Go ahead, caller.
Yes. On Crystal Lake.
Yes.
Was it called the Gold Mine?
Not the Gold Mine, but that's a good guess. Thank you. Not the Gold Mine, the Crystal Lake Amusement Park. Now, I know this because I have the advertisement. And the Crystal Lake Amusement Park roller coaster did have a name. What was the roller coaster at Crystal Lake? What was the name of the roller coaster? Not the Gold Mine, but it did have a name. What was the name? 740-383-9944. I'm sure some people out there in the listening audience probably rode that roller coaster. Who was Sally Flowers' sidekick on Meetin' Time at Moore's? He was there the entire 8-year run. 740-383-9944. What was the original grocery store where Kroger is located on Route 95 before Big Bear? There have only been three grocery stores at that location. It's Kroger now. It was Big Bear before Kroger, and before Big Bear, it was another grocery store. The building's never been empty. We're only missing one. What was the original grocery store located next to Walmart where Kroger is now? 740-383-9944. I can't believe that one's such a mystery. Let's see here. Joe Nuxall. Who did Joe Nuxall do commercials for? It's a big business here in Ohio. Who did Joe Nuxall do commercials for? It was a business. He did them for about 20 years. 740-383-9944. And this is the story I wanted to tell. So I'm going to ask this question again, then I'm going to tell you the story. But if you have any questions, comments, or have an answer, call in. 740-383-9944. Where did Carrie Phillips, the mistress of Warren G. Harding, spend her last days? From 1957 to 1960, she was in Marion. She was in a home for the elderly. What was the name of that home for the elderly? It begins with a W, and it's not here anymore. Now, yesterday, after we got off the air, I received a call from one of our listeners who told me that her uncle used to be Carrie Phillips' delivery man, and that she did live on Mount Vernon Avenue. It was before the St. Mary's High School, and it was a brick house that's on the corner of Mount Vernon Avenue and one of those side streets. Now, if that caller is out there, that listener from yesterday, I'd like her to call back in and tell that story about what kind of lady Carrie was, because apparently her uncle used to tell stories, and we'd love to have that on the record. 740-383-9944. Or if you knew anybody who knew Carrie, or you knew her yourself, those stories are very interesting. 740-383-9944. Now that you know where she lived, maybe you walked by her house in the 1950s, didn't know who she was, but maybe you know now. 740-383-9944. Okay, let's see. Boy, the original grocery store question, I'm so surprised that we do not have an answer for that. I'm trying to think of a way to give a hint. It was not a big national chain. Like I say, I don't ever remember seeing another one. But I don't think it was local either. I'm pretty sure it was not local. What was the grocery store that predated Kroger and Big Bear in the spot next to Walmart on Route 95? What was the name of the first grocery store there? It would have been back about 1990. Also, we're looking for the answer for Sally Flowers' sidekick on Meetin' Time at Moore's, which ran on WLWC in the 1950s. That would have been Channel 4 before they changed the name to WCMH. Who was Sally Flowers' sidekick on Meetin' Time at Moore's? He kind of had a country flair. And he is still alive. He is still living in Florida, last I knew. Give us a ring, 740-383-9944. We had a gentleman call in yesterday who said he had went to the Sally Flowers show. That was an interesting story. And the story yesterday about the pink Klondikes. What a fascinating story that was. That if you went into the Isley shop and you ordered a Klondike, if it was pink strawberry ice cream, it meant you got a Klondike for free. That's fascinating. Didn't know that. But does anybody know the name of the roller coaster at Crystal Lake Amusement Park? What was the name of the roller coaster? Or does anybody remember when somebody was killed on that roller coaster? I don't remember the exact details of that. But does anybody remember that? That would have probably been in the 50s. 740-383-9944. Does anybody have any stories about Crystal Lake Amusement Park in general? Those are always interesting to hear, because that was a big hangout here in Marion. I know there was, I interviewed a lady years ago who was married at the roller rink at Crystal Lake. I forget how that all came about, how I got that interview and what the story was behind it. But she was married on the roller rink at Crystal Lake. Does anybody have any memories of Crystal Lake closing down or going swimming there? I know that was a big part of it. Or the roller coaster. Does anybody know what the name was? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Did we stump everybody today? The one that I thought somebody would get is the Italian dish that McDonald's used to sell. What was the Italian dish that McDonald's used to sell that they do not sell anymore? They sold it in the 90s, I think probably for about 5 or 6 years, and they don't sell it anymore. What is the Italian dish that McDonald's does not sell anymore? 740-383-9944. 740-383-9944. Give us a call. We would love to hear from you. It's always interesting. And you do make the show better. Listeners always make the show better. And that's what the fun is. And, of course, we thank John Waters for calling in, sharing his memories of Earl Bruce, and we thank Adam for calling in, giving it the old college try, trying to guess the grocery store, but maybe this grocery store has fallen through the cracks. Nobody remembers what it is. I don't know. It's interesting. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And if that person who called in off the air yesterday wants to call in and talk about her uncle delivering groceries to Carrie Phillips, I would love to hear that story on the air. 740-383-9944. Now, don't forget tomorrow, we kick off the day at 10 tomorrow morning. the Theology Guys with Pastor Rhett Cornelius and Pastor Brett Rhett Crabtree and Brett Cornelius. See, my tongue got in front of my brain there. The Theology Guys from 10:10 until 11 a.m. And then Talk of the Town with Marge Hazlett and Nan Weir from 11:10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then The Exchange with Nan, Charlie, Evers, and Marge and myself from 12:10 to 1 p.m. And then The Charlie Evers Show, 1:10 until 3 p.m. tomorrow. But it's 57 minutes past the hour, and you still do have 3 minutes to call. 740-3944. You just want to take a guess today. What was the first grocery store that was in the Kroger building on Route 95? What was there before Kroger and before Big Bear? What was the original grocery store there? And we've been looking for a week now for the home for the elderly that Carrie Phillips spent her last days. What was the name of that home for the elderly? I'm kind of interested for somebody to answer this question, because I would like to know maybe if it just changed names or what happened. But Carrie Phillips was at the home for the elderly here in Marion. The name of it began with a W. What was it? Now, if you answer any of these right, you can just have the satisfactory knowledge of knowing you answered the question right, or you can get an oil change to Huntsman Auto, 5 quarts of non-synthetic oil for cars only. We got a Chipotle, buy one, get one gift card, and we have tickets for Saturday night's Marian Ayers concert on April 28th, 7 p.m. at the Palace. So call in. We've still got 2 minutes left to give a guess. Does anybody know? Just throw a name out there. Who was Sally Flowers' co-host on Meetin' Time at Moore's? He was kind of a country guy. I think he released a couple albums at one point. Who was Sally Flowers' co-host on Meetin' Time at Moore's? 740-383-9944. Name the roller coaster from Crystal Lake Amusement Park. It did have a name. What was the name of the roller coaster at Crystal Lake Amusement Park? 740-383-9944. If you have a guess, now here's one we haven't asked. Who was the judge in Marion County? He's long gone now, but that was interested in Marion history. Really interested in Marion history. Who's the judge in Marion County who was interested deeply in Marion history? 740-383-9944. Well, looks like we aren't going to get any more guesses today, but I certainly do appreciate the people who called in all day long. I thank Shecky Green for coming on the show today, having some fun, and I certainly thank you for listening. Stay tuned to WWGH Radio for much more, but for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Talking Place. For legendary comedian and the voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid, Pat